This is 88.5 GPB Atlanta. I'm Leah Fleming. 25 years ago, in April of 1994, the country of Rwanda was embroiled in a genocide. Led by the Hutu majority government, an estimated 800,000 people of the Tutsi ethnic group were murdered.
Underlying intertribal tensions have again exploded into violence, apparently with thousands dead, as rebel forces from the minority Tutsi tribe appear to be fighting the army dominated by the majority Hutus.
But Tharcisse Seminega wasn't part of any political rebellion or movement. He was a professor working at the National University of Rwanda. Tonight he'll be telling his story at Atlanta's Center for Civil and Human Rights, how he was marked for death simply because he was Tutsi.
Even though myself and my family did not belong to any political party because of our beliefs, because I belong to the community of Jehovah's Witnesses, but we were targeted because we were Tutsis only. So we were doomed to die because we were Tutsis.
I recently spoke with Jill Savitt. She is the new CEO of Atlanta's Center for Civil and Human Rights. And she says that genocides often start with one group of people dehumanizing another group by using certain words. And I want to listen to some of that.
Rats, vermin, cockroach, a cancer. Anytime you turn the targeted group into a potential health threat, you radicalize the majority population to feel like it is in their self-interest to harm those people.
That's true.
That's true.
Even in Rwanda, before genocide, there was a very strong propaganda. The main point of the propaganda was dehumanizing Tutsis. So they called them cockroaches, snakes, big trees. They would tell the Hutu population to go to work and kill those cockroaches and cut those big trees and kill those snakes. So Tutsis were considered not humans, but like animals. So people could just go and kill them. And they didn't feel guilty because they felt they were killing animals.
Seminega says he and his wife lost at least 120 relatives during the genocide. And with machete-wielding militias closing in from all sides, there was little hope that they themselves would survive. But then they did. And that help, it came from an unexpected place. The Tutsi family was saved from certain death by Hutu rescuers who refused to senselessly kill their countrymen.
Some members of my community of Jehovah's Witnesses put their lives in jeopardy and at risk to help us to survive.
Seminega says about 20 members of his faith worked together to keep his family out of harm's way. Even though these Hutu rescuers faced death if they were found to be aiding Tutsis, that did not stop them from helping members of their spiritual family.
They put their lives at risk to save ours. They gave us support in terms of food, medication, and even spiritual support.
Despite the help they received, Seminega says surviving was still an incredible ordeal.
We had to hide for 2.5 months. To survive, we went through many difficulties.
Those difficulties included living in places like a goat shack with little access to food or water and sneaking past the roaming militias under the cover of darkness. After 75 days, Seminega and his family were finally able to escape to a refugee camp and eventually on to Canada. Seminega hasn't returned to his home country since that traumatic experience 25 years ago, but he says the lessons learned there must be applied to avoid future tragedies.
It could be prevented if people would learn, love, and live according to God's principle, because Rwanda needs spiritual healing. Yeah. Without this spiritual healing, genocide can even come again.
Tharcisse Seminega is the author of the book, No Greater Love, How My Family Survived the Genocide in Rwanda. He and other survivors are in Atlanta tonight to speak at the National Center for Civil and Human Rights. You can find more information at gpbnews.org. This is 88.5.